That's a very old song. I'm not sure how many of you have heard that before. Never heard it before? No? No. It's an old one. But I came across it recently, and it got me thinking. And of course, I looked at a number of scriptures and everything. I mean, I knew a lot of what the video said and the things he did and everything. But I wanted to confirm to you based on what the scripture said. So if you want to put the first one up, this is one of the things that that Jesus did with his hands. And little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them. For of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. I can only imagine what those children might have felt when Jesus put his hands on them. God himself touching them, embracing them in his arms. What a wonderful thing that was. But that's only one of the things that Jesus did with his hands. Here's something else from the Gospel of Luke. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. So here he used his hands to touch people, to heal them. Not only to embrace them, to show his love and comfort and strength, but also to heal them of their diseases. Also from Luke chapter 8. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. Oh, the grief that must have been in that father's heart. While he was still speaking, skipping a few verses, while he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Do not be afraid. Only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately, and he commanded that she be given something to eat. So here, Jesus reached out his hand and touched her. Life came back into her. She was indeed dead. But Jesus imparted life back into her body and gave her back to her father, who I'm sure was overjoyed. I know I would be. So here, Jesus, using his hands to express love, comfort, healing, and now imparting life back to the dead. Okay? Okay. We're not ready for that one yet. I got carried away a little bit. Those are all amazing things, are they not? What Jesus did with his hands. One pair of hands. But you know what's just as amazing to me? With respect to all of those things that Jesus did, God gave to us the same two hands that he gave to Jesus. We have the same hands that he had in his mortal body. The same two hands. Now, why do you think God gave us two hands? More than just to feed ourselves, more than just to put on our clothes, more than just to wave hi or goodbye, more than all of those things. He gave us two hands to be his instruments, just like Jesus' hands were instruments of God's love and his grace. He gave us two hands to do the same things that Jesus did with his hands. You might say, well, gee, you know, we're just jars of clay, aren't we? And Jesus is God. Except for one thing. The Holy Spirit lives within us. The same Spirit that empowered him to do all of those things lives within us and is yearning to exercise that same power and authority that Jesus did through us, through the hands that he has given us. It's an amazing thing. Think about that. God gave us hands just like Jesus, to be instruments just like Jesus' hands were. Instruments for his glory, for his grace, for his love. So I looked through some scriptures. What are some of the things that the scriptures say that we should be doing with our hands, aside from feeding ourselves or dressing or whatever? And then we start out with this one, Psalm 63. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. There's quite a few scriptures that talk about God's people lifting up their hands. Lifting up our hands to God in worship and in praise to him, who's the one who deserves all that praise and glory and honor. The Jewish people back then knew how important it was to lift up their hands. You do so, what are you doing? You're reaching out to God, are you not? But also, isn't that a common symbol of surrender? We surrender to God. God, here we are. We're yours. We surrender. Use us. Take us. Take our lives and use them for your glory. And use these hands that we raise up to you. What's something else? Wasn't there another one? All right, Mark. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. These signs will follow those who believe. They'll do all sorts of miraculous things, including laying on hands people to recover from sickness, just like Jesus did the people back then when he walked the earth. That's what the scripture says. I can't argue with it. These signs will follow those who believe. So it's up to us to believe, right? It's up to us to believe. The Holy Spirit lives within us. There is power and authority within us to do these things if we only believe. But there's one other thing too. Scripture tells us that we should be led of the Spirit. So it's not where we make up our own minds, okay, I'm going to go out today, I'm going to lay hands on so-and-so, and that person's going to be healed. Let the Spirit lead us, because he's the one that has the power to do these things. We are simply the instruments, like I've mentioned so many times before. The scalpel is just an instrument in the hands of the master surgeon. The scalpel doesn't get any glory. The surgeon does. In the same way, we are the instruments of God to be picked up and used at his discretion, to be led by him, to do all of these wonderful things, if we but believe. So important that we do believe. I think we've lost that. I think the church has lost that over the centuries. But let's go on. Here in Acts 13. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, excuse me, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them. They sent them away. So here is a case, another use of our hands. To lay our hands on people, to consecrate them for the work that the Lord calls them to. When we recognize that God has called somebody, it's our responsibility to lay hands on them for the work of service, to consecrate them, to dedicate them to the work of the Lord. So that's something else that we do with our hands. Okay. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Here's Paul speaking to Timothy. The gifts. There are many spiritual gifts as we read in Scripture. And they are often imparted to people by the laying on of hands. And the Spirit touches people with gifts. Timothy was one. It was given to him. He was prophesied over. And the elders laid hands on him to impart this gift to him. Here again, if the Lord is calling somebody into special service and he wants to impart a special gift, it's up to the elders of the church to lay hands on them. Excuse me. Was that the last one? Okay. We do something similar to as expressed in these last two scriptures. Whenever we pack the shoe boxes for Operation Christmas Child, we've got the altar area here just filled with shoe boxes. What do? We all gather together and lay hands on them to impart the Lord's blessing upon them, that the children who receive those shoe boxes might be blessed and touched by the Spirit of God, that they might come to know Jesus as we do. We do that. We've done that every year since packing shoe boxes, and at other times too, when we've gathered together food or gifts or whatever for needy people at Christmas time, we've done the same things, laid hands on them. There are so many things. I mean, this is only a sampling of what the Scripture talks about. Things that we can and should do with our hands. God gave us these hands for a purpose. God gave us these hands to minister, to be used by Him for His glory. But they can't be used unless we first surrender them to the Lord. Do we want to be servants of the Lord? Do we want to be used of Him? It's up to us to say, Lord, here, take my hands. Use them in the same way that Jesus used His. I make them freely available to you. You do that and you mean it in your heart, He's going to begin to use you. His Holy Spirit is going to begin prompting you to do things, to touch people in different ways, using your hands. These are much more than just useful instruments for our own satisfaction or pleasure. They were designed to be used by God for His glory. Let the Holy Spirit that is within you impart His power to these hands, that you too might do the mighty works of God. What did Jesus say? I don't have the scripture up, but it comes to mind. You see these works that I do? Greater than these shall you do, because I go to the Father. That's what Jesus said to His disciples. What did Jesus do? He healed the sick, He raised the dead, He cast out demons. No small things. He said, you see these things greater than these? I can't imagine what greater than these things would be. But he said, greater than these things will you do because I go to the Father. And later on he speaks about receiving the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit. He said, wait in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes upon you, the power from on high. We have that Holy Spirit within us. Let's let him do his thing and use our hands for his glory. They are his instruments. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that you have given us two hands just like Jesus. One pair of hands that is capable of so much, that is capable of performing miracles, that is capable of extending and expressing love and grace beyond our wildest imagination. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for wanting to use us in the same way that Jesus used his hands. Lord, we give them to you. I give you mine, Lord. Use our hands for your glory, Father. May Jesus be praised. For in his name we pray it. Amen.